This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. As always, we begin with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to his family and his companions. We are inshallah resuming the classes after a short break of about a week. There were a lot of other projects that had built up, and alhamdulillah, we just needed some time to clear up some of those deadlines. And alhamdulillah, we're starting with the same routine that we've had this Ramadan of having the tafsir twice a week until the end of Ramadan. And after Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, we'll resume with the usual Bulugh al-Maram on a Tuesday and Tafsir on a Friday, inshallah ta'ala. And this is going to be, we have the Tafsir of Surah Al-Layl, and this is going to be, inshallah, one of the surahs which we are going to divide into parts. Because ideally, when we were doing the classes in the masjid, we wanted the class to be around about half an hour. When we've been doing the classes at home, I've not been worrying too much about the length, if it goes over to an hour or an hour and 10 minutes, because people can take their time and watch it whenever they want. But when the surahs are getting longer and longer, and the tafsir is getting to the point where it's very difficult to do it in one sitting, and it's difficult for people to follow it in one sitting, we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, break it up. And as we get onto the longer surahs, for no doubt some of them we will have to break up into three or four or even five parts, depending on how long the surah is and depending on how far we get through the surahs of the Qur'an. So we have Surah Al-Layl, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. And this surah, according to the Jumhur, the majority of the scholars, is Makkiyah, and some of them made an exception of some ayat, and some of them said that it is Madaniyah, but the majority of them, they said this is a surah which is Makkiyah, a surah which was revealed in Mecca. The topic of the surah essentially is the efforts made by a person, whether they are efforts for good or efforts for bad, or for evil, and what the recompense and the result of those efforts will be. And this surah, Surah Al-Layl, is one of the surahs that the Prophet ﷺ advised Mu'adh ibn Jabal to recite in Salatul Isha. Because we know that Mu'adh, he used to lead his people with long recitation of the Qur'an, and some of them became hard for them, and it became burdensome for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, "Aturidu an takuna fattanan ya Mu'adh?" Do you want to be a cause of a fitna for people? Do you want to be someone who the people leave the salah because of them? And then he instructed him that when you lead the people, and he mentioned sabbih isma rabbikal a'la, he mentioned lead them with sabbih isma rabbikal a'la. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shamsi wa duhaha, and he mentioned wal-layli idha yaghsha. So this is one of the surahs that the Prophet ﷺ instructed to Mu'adh to lead his people with in Salat al-Isha, in the Isha prayer. Ibn Abbas has a narration regarding the topic of the surah, and he said that it relates to as-samaha wal-bukhl. And there are lots of different translations of that. It's a broad term as it relates to akhlaq, people's manners, to do with good treatment of other people and overlooking things and not being harsh on people, making things easy for people. And likewise, al-bukhl, stinginess. And that is no doubt one of the themes within the surah. Stinginess and the opposite of it, giving and generosity, and making things easy for people. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. Allah Azza wa Jalla swore by the night. And يَغْشَى, it means it covers up. And Ibn al-Qayyim and others mentioned that the word yaghsha here, to cover up, is fi'l mudari', it's a present tense verb, and that is because it is intended to indicate the fact that the night covers things up slowly. Darkness slowly spreads and it becomes more and more intense as the night goes on. And that is why the word yaghsha here is mentioned in the present tense, to indicate that it's a gradual covering. It's not like, when the light is on in a room and then you switch the light off and everything goes dark. Rather, the night creeps and slowly covers up. As for what it covers up, there are some different opinions from the scholars of tafsir. They are mutaqariba, they're close to one another. Some of them said, yaghsha al-ard, it covers up the earth. Some of them said, yaghsha al-khaliqa, it covers up creation. And others, and this was the opinion of Ibn Jarir, they said, yaghsha al-nahar, it covers up the day. Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, that was his preferred choice in this, that it covers up the day. That what was visible and easy to see in the day is covered and concealed by the night. And all of these opinions are very similar to one another, and they all somewhat fit within one another, that the night covers up the creation in its darkness, it covers up the earth in darkness, the earth becomes covered in darkness as though it were a blanket thrown over. You know, it becomes that, like rolled out, the darkness rolls out and spreads out over the earth. And it said that it covers up the daytime. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla swore by that, He swore by it because it is azim. And we've heard this principle repeatedly again and again in our tafsir classes, that the qasam in the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He swears by something, He swears by something that is azim. It is great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah swore by the day. So He swore by the night, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, and He swore by the day, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى, and by the day, تَجَلَّى, when it makes things become clear. Some of them said, أَنَارَ, it covers with light, or it spreads out the light. And some of them said, ظَهَرَ وَاتَّضَحَ مَا كَانَ خَافِيًا بِاللَّيْلِ, that what happens is the things that were hidden in the night become obvious in the day. The things that were hidden in the night, they become obvious and easy to see, and they become clear in the day. And you'll notice that these two are opposites. Allah Azza wa Jalla swore by the night, and Allah Azza wa Jalla swore by the day. And the night and the day are opposite to one another. They're polar opposites to one another. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also swore by, and we're going to come to, when we come to the next ayah, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, and a dhakar wal untha, the male and female, are also opposite to one another. So we're going to hear in a moment some of the opinions, Ibn Qayyim and others, about why these opposites exist in the surah. But we'll first come to the ayah, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. The word ma here, the scholars differ about what it means. Some of them said ma, it means man, and that Allah is swearing by Himself. So Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by the night when it covers up with the darkness gradually, and by the day when things become immediately apparent, because tajalla here is not like yaghsha shay'an fa shay'an. Slowly, gradually. Tajalla, in that you switch the light on, you know, that's it. Everything that was dark, you can see it. The light penetrates the darkness and you can see. And Allah Azza wa Jal swore by وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. It said that ma here means man, and that Allah is swearing by Himself. وَمَنْ خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, Allah swears by the one who created males and females. And it said here that ma is mustariya, and that what it means is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is swearing by the creation of male and female. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, either Allah is swearing by خَلْق الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, by the creation of male and female. And the creation of male and female doesn't necessarily, it's not restricted, like Ibn al-Qayyim said, it's not restricted to human beings. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى is not restricted to human beings, rather includes even كَذَلِكَ الْحَيَوَانِ the animals and all of the different species that Allah has created in male and female. And these things are متضادة, they are opposites to one another. They stand opposite to each other. اللَّيْل النهار and الذكر and الأنثى. And if you look at the جواب القسم, the answer that comes, that why is Allah swearing? What is Allah swearing by? Allah swears by the night, Allah swears by the day, Allah swears by himself, or he swears by the creation of male and female. For what reason? What's the cause of that? إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Your sa'i is shatta. It is mukhtalaf. It is mukhtalaf. Ghayat al-ikhtilaf. It is completely and totally different. I.e. that the efforts that people make are polar opposites. There are people who make an effort for good and people who make an effort for evil. And that's generally Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, when he spoke about this, and likewise Ibn Kathir and others from among the scholars of Islam, when they spoke about this, they speak about these opposites being mentioned in order to emphasize the polar opposite of those who believe and do good deeds versus those people who turn away and disbelieve and do evil actions. إِنَّ سَعِيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Sa'i here, as-sa'i, Ibn al-Qayyim has a very important point to make about as-sa'i here. He said that as-sa'i, what is the meaning of sa'i here? He said it is the action, a specific kind of action. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he said it's wrong, those people who said that as-sa'i means al-amal, it means actions. It means a specific kind of action. الَّذِي يَجْتَهِدُ فِيهِ الْإِنسَانِ, that a person works extremely hard for and does everything necessary to achieve. That's the meaning of as-sa'i, something that you are striving towards, something that you are working hard for, something that your ihtimam, your concern and your worry and your efforts and your anxiety is attached to it. That's what as-sa'i is. And that's why as-sa'i, whenever it's mentioned in the Quran, it comes with that meaning. It comes with the meaning of al-amal alladhi yajtahid fi al-insan, the action that a person works hard for and he does everything which is needed to achieve it. Anything which is needed to achieve it, he does that action. And as-sa'yu is, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said, inna sa'yakum lashatta, that the efforts that people are making and the hard work that people are doing and what people are racing for and working for and stressing over, those things are very, very different. And shatta is jam'u shatit. It's the plural of shatit. In other words, they are different, very different from one another and completely separate from one another. And that's why if you look at the person who believes and gives and does good deeds, and you look at the person who withholds and is stingy and disbelieves, those two are shatta, completely different from one another. Just like the night and the day, and just like al-dhakar wal-untha, the male and the female, rather they are even more different than those two things. Even more different than the night and the day are those who work for iman and to do good deeds, and those who work for al-kufr, and that's what stresses them, and that's what they work for, and that's what their goal is, and that's what they're striving for, is to turn away from Allah and to disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal and to hold on to the dunya and what is in it. So this is the sa'i of people, the effort they make, the action they make with great effort and great and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal told us, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع. O you who believe, when the prayer is called out for the Jumu'ah prayer, fas'au, make sa'i to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trade. The Prophet ﷺ forbade as-sa'i, meaning al-isra', meaning running to the prayer and hurrying and hastening. And he told us that you have to have as-sakina wal-waqar, you have to go with calm and in a way that is tranquil and calm. But here the sa'i that you are commanded to is al-ihtimam. To have, give it concern, give it attention, give it thought. You know, take your concern away from your business and your trade and make your concern the salah, the wudu that you need. You need to get ready for the salah. You need to go to the masjid to be ready for the salah. That's the meaning of fas'au here. Fas'au ila dhikrillah. Make sa'i to the remembrance of Allah. So a sa'i, which can mean al-isra', it can mean running, that's not what the intended meaning is in that context. The sa'i here is not running around, but the sa'i here is what the person has importance in, what the person gives importance to and works hard for. That is what is intended by it. And it's also mentioned from the benefits that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala indicated, is that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the night and the day, and he also mentioned the people who work in the night and the day. And it's difficult perhaps to quite find the right words for this, but I try to explain the idea. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the night and the day, and Allah mentioned those who use the night and the day for work. And that is al-dhakar wal-untha, the male and the female who they work either in the night or in the day. They strive in the night, they strive in the day for one thing or for another. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned those who are working and the place where they work or the time in which they work. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned those who are working and he mentioned the time and the place in which they work, the night and the day and the people and of course the animals that do that have their concern, their work that they do and their efforts that they make, and they make it in the night and they make it in the day. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. The efforts you make and the concerns that you have and what you're working hard towards is completely different. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And as for the one who a'ta, gives, wattaqa, and has a taqwa, wasaddaqa bil husna, and believes in al husna. So let's take this first of all, the word a'ta, the one who gives. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they said that the word a'ta here, it relates to money, the one who gives money. And they said that the evidence for this is that Allah Azza wa Jal in the following ayat, what is the contrast? What does he contrast it with? وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for the one who is stingy and sees himself free of need, free of needing Allah. So they said the evidence that the word أَعْطَى here means wealth is that Allah contrasted it with al-bukhl, which is stinginess. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. Others, they said, أَعْطَى here doesn't mention what you have to give. And the reason it doesn't mention what you have to give is to make it general for all of the things you can give. You could give out knowledge. You could give out helping somebody. You could do الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, command the good and forbid the evil. Whatever you need to give or whatever efforts you need to give, whatever thing that is needed from you, that you give what is needed at the time that it is needed. Some of them made it more general like that. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. And to be honest, the two of these two are not, it's not impossible to reconcile between them. And to say that the wording of the ayah is general, again, the one that is the focus or what we would say is يدخل دخولا أولية, it gives the most importance to it because it comes before everything. You know, the first thing that comes to your mind is, no doubt, the giving of wealth. But the ayah is general enough that we can include it to other things as well, like the giving of knowledge and so on. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَاتَّقَى. And ittaqa here, this concept of at-taqwa, in Islam, first of all, at-taqwa is linguistically to put a barrier between something you and something you fear. To put a barrier between you and something you fear. So if you broke glass on the floor and you put your shoes on, this is a kind of linguistic taqwa. Putting a barrier between you and between something that you are scared of. And in Islam, it is to put a barrier between you and what you fear from the punishment of Allah and His curse, His anger and the hellfire. And that's why here in the ayah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, the ulama kept it also general. And they said that everything that it is obligatory for a person to protect themselves from, and everything that a person should protect themselves from, and no doubt protecting yourself from the punishment of Allah and His anger and His curse and the hellfire, this is the most important of the things that a person should protect themselves from. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. And أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى here also have a contrast in them. Because أَعْطَى is to do with الْفِعْل. It's طَلَب الْفِعْل. It's asking you to do something, to go and give something. And as for التَّقْوَى, then a taqwa, it can be used in two different ways. It can be used in a general way or specific way. In a general way, it encompasses all, both doing good and keeping away from evil. But when it's mentioned alongside doing good, then it refers to keeping away from bad things and protecting yourself from bad things. Here you can take it both. Both can be understood. But because a'ta is an action of doing something, then here, at-taqwa could also be related to leaving off and keeping away from the things that you've been told to keep away from. And generally, the word at-taqwa, it can include both. If it's mentioned generally on its own, it includes both. It's one of those words that when you have it on its own, it includes everything. And when it's together with something else, it can have a more restricted meaning. And that's why the statement of Allah, in which He said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate with each other in birr and taqwa. If Allah Azza wa Jal had only mentioned at-taqwa would include al-birr. But when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned al-birr and at-taqwa separately, and also al-birr, if it was mentioned on its own, would include at-taqwa. But when the two are separated, then al-birr is to do good deeds, and at-taqwa is to keep away from the sins. So that's a point to be aware of. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. The majority of the ulama of tafsir, when they came to this statement, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, they said that الْحُسْنَى here is الْجَزَاء وَالْعِوَضُ. It is the reward and recompense for the good that you did, for the عطاء, and the taqwa that you did, that Allah Azza wa Jal will recompense you for it. So they said that وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, the person believes that they will be rewarded for the good that they do and for the sins that they leave. The person believes that they will be rewarded and that Allah Azza wa Jal will exchange that for something better. That is what many, if not the majority, said among them. Ibn Jarir, it's narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. And this is in contrast, for example, to what Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned about some of the Bedouins. He said, وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا. There are some people from the Bedouins who, when they give something, when they spend something, they see it as a maghrama. They see it as a like it's a punishment. It's like a fine they have to pay. It's a hardship for them, like a debt they have to pay or a fine. It's like, you know, they pay and they give their sadaqah like with extreme reluctance, as though it was a financial penalty or a financial punishment. But as for the one who gives and the one who keeps away and protects themselves from what Allah has commanded them to protect themselves from, and believes that they will get a reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla, they don't see it as a penalty or a punishment or something negative, but they see it as something that they will be rewarded for. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Others, they said about Al-Husna, that Al-Husna is La ilaha illallah. This is narrated from Al-Dahhak and others, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said Al-Husna is La ilaha illallah. So this would mean, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Whoever gives and whoever protects themselves from what they've been commanded to protect themselves from, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and they believe in La ilaha illallah. And there is a call from Mujahid that Al-Husna is Al-Jannah. Al-Husna is Al-Jannah. And he وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْجَنَّى. And that person believes in Al-Jannah. And this statement, believing in Al-Jannah, is actually not that far away from the others, if you look at it, in terms of the statement of the majority. Because if you believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla will replace for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, then Jannah, no doubt, is the great reward that every Muslim is striving for. There's not a great contradiction. As for the statement that it is La ilaha illallah, it can be said that La ilaha illallah is the most important of the acts of obedience that a person does, and the most important of the things that a person is commanded to bring and to do. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will make it easy for that person. We will make it easy for them to have al-yusra, for ease. We're going to make ease easy for them. So what does it mean that we will make ease easy? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ. We will make him easy for him to achieve al-yusra, to achieve ease. What does this mean? It's said that it means that عَمَلُ الْخَيْرِ, doing good deeds, we will make it easy for that person to do good deeds. And this is why we're gonna just pause that thought for a moment. We're going to come back to it when we come to the next ayat. That this is from the most important of the ayat in explaining al-qadr wal-qada, the divine decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and predestination, and understanding it properly. And the importance of working hard and striving hard to do good deeds. And when you do that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make it easy for you to achieve what you want. But we'll come to the other ayat. First of all, about the one who is stingy and who feels themselves that they don't need anything, then or that they don't need Allah. Then inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll come back to talk about al-qadr wal-qada inshaAllah ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for the one who بَخِيلَ, the majority here, when you talk about, again, بَخِيلَ, that the word بَخِيلَ usually refers to stinginess in wealth. So the one who is stingy with their wealth. So this is an opposite to أَعْطَى, they give. بَخِيل. And it could be more than just wealth as well. It doesn't have to be just wealth. That they are stingy, they don't give out what they've been commanded to give. وَاسْتَغْنَى. And here, the statement wastaghna, al-istighna, it means to see yourself as being without need. And that's why the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-ghani. And sometimes translate al-ghani as the rich. But really, the word ghani means the one that doesn't need anything. In terms of a human being, you can say a human being is ghani, as in rich, wealthy. But the real meaning of the word is not being needy. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. He is the one that doesn't need anybody and is worthy of all praise. So when a human being istaghna an rabbihi, When a human being says, I don't need my Lord. Why do I don't need my Lord? I get what I want. I work myself. I do my own things. And I don't need Allah. This is the one who Allah Azza wa Jal told us, فَسَنُ يَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَ. We're going to make it, we're going to take this person and make it easy for this person to end up in al-usra, a punishment, or which we're going to come to inshallah. It's also said that istaghna, it refers to a dunya wa shahawat, the worldly life and desires, and the person is just sufficed with that. Any istaghna anil amal lil akhirah, the person doesn't feel they need to work for the akhirah. They're just content with the dunya. Like what I have in the dunya, that's enough for me. I don't want what's in the akhirah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And they disbelieve in al-husna. Here again, the majority said al-jaza. They disbelieve in the recompense, that they will be recompensed. They will be given a reward. They say that who will مَنْ يُحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, who will bring the bones to life when they are dust? And they say that they disbelieve that Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward them. And when they give, they see what they are giving. يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا. They see it as a punishment or a penalty to have to give sadaqah, and so on. And it's also said that al-husna means al-jannah. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْجَنَّةِ, disbelieves in Jannah. And it's also said وَكَذَّبَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, whoever is stingy and sees that they don't need Allah or is sufficing themselves with the dunya, and they disbelieve in La ilaha illallah. The same as is said about wasaddaqa bilhusna, the same opinions were said about wakadhaba bilhusna. And the majority, they said that alhusna here is aljaza, recompense, being given a reward or a recompense for the deeds that you do. Fasanu yassiruhu lil'usra. We will make for that person, we will ease them towards al-usra. We will ease them towards hardship. Hardship will become, al-usra here, there are different opinions among the scholars about the word al-usra being punishment, or again, you say the fire, the hellfire, and so on. But what we wanted here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them on a path where hardship, like or punishment or evil deeds, that become easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for them to do what is wrong, and that they will be punished for that. And that is like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبَصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, we will turn away their hearts and their eyes like they didn't, because they didn't believe in the message the first time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away people and sends them astray because they didn't take the opportunity that they were given to believe. And that's why when you think about it, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will facilitate for that person, that person will end up doing evil deeds and will end up doing the things that will bring them to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we come to the matter of al-qadr wal-qadha. That these ayat, they are an explanation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu muyassarun lima khuliqa lahu. Everyone will be made easy what they were created for. And in Sahih Bukhari, that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, afala natakilu ala kitabana عَلَى كِتَابِنَا وَنَدَعُ الْعَمَلِ. Shall we not suffice with what has been written for us and just give up working? Should we not just stop making a sa'i, working hard and striving and making every effort to try to reach our goal? Should we not give up and stop working? And the Prophet ﷺ, he told us وأما أهل السعادة فييسرون لعمل أهل السعادة، وأما أهل الشقاء فييسرون لعمل أهل الشقاء. As for the people who will be eternally happy in Jannah, Allah will make it easy for them to do the actions of the people who will be eternally happy in Jannah. And as for the people who will be wretched, then Allah will make it easy for them to do the actions of the people who are wretched. And what that tells us is that what we are required to do is to act. That's why the Sahaba, when they heard about Qadr and Qadha, many of them asked Abu Bakr, it's narrated from Umar radiallahu anhuma and others among the Sahaba, that when they heard about Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this a matter already decided, or is it a matter which is still yet undecided? But the Prophet said, rather, it's a matter, amrun qad furiga min. It's a matter that has been decided and finished with. They said, or some of them said, shall we not then stop working? Or shall we not then leave what has been decided for us? The Prophet told them to act, to work hard, because Allah will make it easy for you to do what you were created for. And this comes back to this ayah. This ayah is an explanation of Al-Qadr. So what does the ayah tell us as it relates to Al-Qadr? It tells us that what is required from us with regard to Al-Qadr wal-Qadha is to work hard and to realize that you need Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what's required from us. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Inna sa'yakum lashatta." Your efforts that you make are widely differing. Widely, very widely differing efforts that you're making. So Allah Azza wa Jal didn't require us to lay down and say that is what Allah has decreed for us. Rather, Allah required from us as-sa'i. As-sa'i in what? Working hard for what? Working hard. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. That you work hard, you give whatever you have to give. Whatever you have. Let's make the ayah general here. Give whatever is in your ability to give, whether it's money, knowledge, efforts, give what you can. Protect yourself from whatever you can from the sins and disobedience. Believe in the reward of Allah. Believe that Allah will recompense you and reward you for what you have done. Believe in Islam. Believe in Al-Jannah. Don't think that you are free of needing Allah. Don't be stingy. Don't think you're free of needing Allah. You have istighna, I don't need Allah. Don't think that. Work hard and realize that you need Allah. And that's what a Muslim is required to do from Al-Qadr wal-Qadha. And that's why if you learn about Al-Qadr wal-Qadha and your conclusion when you learn about Qadr is that I need to work hard and I desperately need Allah, then this is a sign that you have understood Al-Qadr wal-Qadha correctly. But if you have listened to a lecture or a lesson or read a book about it and your conclusion is that I should be lazy or despairing or sit down and say whatever Allah has written for me is written for me and I don't need to do anything now, then this is, you haven't understood it properly. What Allah has written for you, He has written for you. You cannot escape what Allah has written for you. But if you work hard, Allah promised to guide the people who work hard. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for us, we will guide them to our ways, to our path. Allah Azza wa Jal will guide them, and we're going to come to inna alayna. We're going to come to the ayah inna alayna lalhuda, that Allah Azza wa Jal will guide you to the path. Allah Azza wa Jal will guide you to the path that will lead to Him when you make the effort. When you make the effort. And so if you want to be from the people of Jannah, what is required from you is to do the actions of the people of Jannah. As for knowing what Allah has written for you in the end, you don't know and I don't know. But Allah has promised to help the people who work hard. So this leaves you with two things. It leaves you with hard work and it leaves you recognizing how much you need Allah. Because you realize that hard work on its own is not enough. Hard work is matloob, that's what's required from you, to work hard. But that in itself is not enough. Just your hard work, and that's why the Prophet told us no one will enter Jannah because of their deeds. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, not even me, unless Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses or showers His mercy upon me. So here, your deeds are not enough. So you understood that the matlub, what is required from you, is as-sa'i, work hard in doing good, in al-ata, in giving, in iman, in believing in Allah Azza wa Jal and His recompense, in strive, in doing good deeds, in protecting yourself from sins. That's matlub from you, that's required from you. And you realize that you cannot achieve it without Allah. You need Allah. Then if you came to that conclusion after you read the ayat and the ahadith that deal with qadr and the books and the statements of the scholars, and you came to the conclusion that I need to work really hard and I need Allah, then you have understood al-qadr wal-qada correctly. And if your conclusion is despair or laziness or feeling that there is no hope for you or despairing of the help of Allah or feeling that you have been oppressed or deciding that you're not going to do any more good deeds or any more, that you're just going to suffice with what's been given to you, then you haven't understood al-qadr wal-qada correctly. And these ayat are from the clearest of explanation of what is required for you. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. It said that this ayah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, was revealed about Abu Bakr. There is a sabab nuzul for the ayah, that the ayah was revealed about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his freeing of the poor and needy slaves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ. The ma here, again, it could be nafia, meaning that, and that's what seems to be the meaning, that a person's wealth will not benefit them إِذَا تَرَدَّى. And it said here that it could be also istifham. Like, what will, istifham meaning al-nafi, yani. What will a person's wealth benefit them? إِذَا تَرَدَّى. So it could be a question, meaning a negative. Like someone saying, like, so what is your wealth going to benefit you? إِذَا تَرَدَّى. Or it could be a straight negative, يعني, that a person's wealth will not benefit them anything. إِذَا تَرَدَّى. And here, إِذَا تَرَدَّى, Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this, that here, إِذَا تَرَدَّى, تَرَدَّى is السُّقُوت وَالْوُقُوعُ فِي الشَّيْء. It is to fall down into something and to fall into it. To fall down into something or to fall down into something. And this is why they said that إِذَا تَرَدَّى, it means when the person falls into the fire. That was the opinion of Ibn Jarir. Others said إذا تردى, it means إذا مات, إذا هلك, if a person dies. But the stronger opinion here is that إذا تردى, it means when the person falls into the fire. وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى. What will the person's wealth do when they fall into the fire? And here you can also link that to the statement فأما من أعطى واتقى, the one who gives, and also وأما من بخل واستغنى, the one who is stingy. What will the wealth do? The one who is stingy, what will that wealth do for them when they fall into the fire? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. The scholars differ in two opinions here. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned both of them, and he strongly supported the second opinion. But the first opinion is the opinion of Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, before him Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, that إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. عَلَيْنَا means it is upon us. That's just for the explanation of the English. عَلَيْنَا means it's upon us, and it's our, it's our responsibility. Allah is taking it as His responsibility. Here, Qatada, he said, what is that? What Allah is saying here is that Inna ala Allahi bayan al halal wal haram. That Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it, that it's His responsibility to explain what is allowed and what's not allowed. And al-huda means guidance. Inna alayna lal-huda, that it's our responsibility, or we will take responsibility for guiding you to what is allowed and what is not allowed. Okay, so in the concept of as-sa'i, working hard to do what is right, Allah Azza wa Jal promise you that He will tell you what's allowed and what's not allowed. Your job, go and do what you want to do. Go and do the good things and avoid the haram. And that's similar to the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, rahimahullah, of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. The halal is clear and the haram is clear. That it is Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it upon Himself to explain to you what's allowed and what's not allowed. Your job is to do what is allowed and to keep away from what is not allowed. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. You give and you protect yourself from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. You do what is allowed, you keep away from what's not allowed. Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it upon Himself to explain to you what is allowed and what's not allowed. That was, broadly speaking, what Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala said, and it was what was chosen by Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala. As for Ibn al-Qayyim, he didn't take this in this way. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that this ayah refers to the one who sets out on the path of guidance will definitely reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said this, or he brought an ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ. And he mentioned this, it was mentioned also by Al-Farra, that whoever sets out on a path to guidance, then it is Allah Azza wa Jalla will take it as his responsibility to give that person the goal that they want, to get that person to the goal that they want. And the path of guidance, it is a Sirat al-Mustaqim. So whoever makes that effort upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let them go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them reach their destination. And actually both of these two opinions are perfectly valid. The opinion of Qatada and the opinion of Al-Farra that was taken by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Both of them are completely true. That Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it upon Himself to clearly explain to you what is allowed and what's not allowed. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. The halal is clear and the haram is clear. Your job is to go and do your efforts. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal has promised that the one who makes an effort and works hard, Allah Azza wa Jal will get them to the destination they want. However, a person might ask, well, what about the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, or what about what the Prophet ﷺ told us about the person that does an action of the people of paradise until there's nothing between them and paradise except for the length of a forearm, and then the decree of Allah overtakes them and they go to the fire. Does this not indicate to you that a person would be seeking al-huda, on the path of al-huda, and then Allah will put them in the fire? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala and others, they mention about this hadith that this person who did the actions of the people of Jannah, it is not possible that that person was sincere. Because if that person was sincere, Allah would have guided them to Jannah. Anyone who sincerely works for the sake of Allah and sincerely makes an effort for the sake of Allah and really seeks out the path of guidance, Allah Azza wa Jal will get them to their destination. That's what Ibn al-Qayyim said, that whoever takes the path of guidance, Allah Azza wa Jal has taken it upon Himself to bring that person to where they wanted to go, to bring the person to the guidance that they sought for. And here Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned two things. He mentioned the ghaya, the final goal, which is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He mentioned the way to do it. He mentioned the way to do that, which is to seek out the path of guidance. And Ibn al-Qayyim has an amazing quote, where he mentions four things that this ayah contains. He said this ayah contains ذكر أعلى الغايات الوصول إلى الله. It contains mentioning the greatest of all goals and the main goal that you should have, which is that you reach Allah. And it contains أقرب الطرق. It contains the best way to achieve that, which is طريقة الهدى, the path of guidance. And it contains توحيد الطريق, that there is only one path of guidance. And you have to follow that one path of guidance, وتوحيد المطلوب, and that there is only one that you're seeking to please and worship, and that is Allah. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he brought four things from this ayah. Inna alayna lil-huda. First of all, that our ultimate goal is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, that the way to do this is by seeking the path of guidance. Thirdly, that there is only one path to do that. And fourthly, that Allah Azza wa Jal is one, Tawheed al-Matloob, that your goal is only one, and the one that you seek to worship is only one, and the one that you seek that reward from is only one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned again in his discussion about al-huda at-tam, complete guidance. He said complete guidance comes from three things, and there are three opposites to them. It comes from tawheed al-matloob. It comes from having one that you are seeking out, one that you are worshipping and seeking out for reward and putting your hope in, and that is Allah. And the opposite of that is ash-shirk, making a partner with Allah. And it contains tawheed al-talab. It contains that there is, and here he says the opposite of it is sin. And you have the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do, and the way that you are, or the good deeds that you are doing in order to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you do those good deeds that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said for you to get to Him, and the opposite of that is sin. And he said, Tawheed al-Tariq, that there is only one path, and that the opposite of that is al-Bid'ah, innovation. Because if you believe there is only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, as Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, there is only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the path that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. The only religion acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jalla is Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever wishes to meet with his Lord, let him do good deeds and let him not make any partner with his Lord. And the Prophet said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action that's not in accordance with what we brought, it will be rejected. There is only one way to reach Allah, and that is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is this one set of actions that Allah has required you to do. And when you do those actions and you keep away from sins, then you will reach the one that you are hoping for and the one that you are aiming for. And that is to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the misguidance of the shaitan comes from three things. Ash-shirk, wal-ma'asiyah, wal-bid'ah. It comes from making a partner with Allah, and innovating in the religion, following a way other than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it comes from al-ma'asiyah, sins and disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لِلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. And indeed, the akhirah and the ula, the hereafter and this life, both of them belong to us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the Malik, he's the owner of all of these things. Yani he's the owner of the universe and whatever is in it. And he owns this worldly life and whatever is in it, it's in his hands. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala also controls the akhirah. And in fact, the control that Allah Azza wa Jalla has in the akhirah, everyone will admit to it. In this world, people deny that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the owner of the heavens and the earth. And people don't recognize it. Yet in the akhirah, everyone will recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner of everything. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal said, Maliki Yawmiddin, the owner of the day of recompense. So here, the purpose of the ayah here, wa inna lana lal akhirata wal ula, is that if you are seeking whatever you're seeking from the dunya or the akhirah, then know that this lies in the hands of Allah. And that's why Ibn Jarir, he mentioned thawab ad-dunya wal akhirah, the rewards of the dunya and the akhirah, that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you seek in this dunya, it's with Allah. If you obey Allah, Allah will give you what you want from this dunya. And whatever is in the akhirah is with Allah. And if you obey Allah, He will give you what you want in the akhirah, and He will give you some of the things in the dunya that are good for you to be able to reach that goal in the akhirah. But as for seeking the dunya from other than Allah Azza wa Jal, or seeking the akhirah from other than Allah Azza wa Jal, a person will not achieve anything through this, because thawab ad-dunya wal akhirah, the rewards of this life and the next, are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue next, in the next class, in the second half of the surah, inshallah ta'ala. That's where we got up to for this half. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.